Are you searching for that voice of reason in these troubled times? Do some things just not make sense? We thought so too, and that's exactly how Dave, Richard, and I came together. My name is Kelsey, and the three of us are here to explore and seek the truth, expose corruption, and unravel and untwist media lies and propaganda. We are determined to help navigate through this unparalleled, extraordinary time in history with everyday people emphasizing open-mindedness, free thinking, and a desire to be empowered at the grassroots level, working with what nature has given us and protecting that from those who are exploiting it. Together, with the help of our listeners, we will sow acres of truth. You can visit our website at acresoftruth.com, and here you will find more information on how you can find us in places like YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, and Apple Music, Twitter, and so much more. And welcome to our special edition series, SDGs and What You Need to Know. Together, we will be explaining and discussing the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Our mission is to educate everyday citizens about SDGs, what they are, what they mean, how the laws and policies that are and have been passed can and will affect us, not only here in Canada, but around the world. Additionally, by learning and understanding these 17 goals, we can all become one step closer in helping to affect change in this world from a grassroots perspective. My name is Kelsey from Saskatoon, along with Dave and Richard. We are Acres of Truth. Joining us is our special guest, Mark, who has been talking about the agenda for 20 years now. Welcome, gentlemen. The format of this series is to read the goal, discuss the targets, and break it down for people to understand. Sustainable Development Goal number 2, Zero Hunger. Sustainable Development Goal number 2 is about creating a world free of hunger by 2030. In 2020, between 720 million and 811 million persons worldwide were suffering from hunger, roughly 161 million more than in 2019. Also in 2020, a staggering 2.4 billion people, or above 30% of the world's population, were moderately or severely food insecure, lacking regular access to adequate food. The figure increased by nearly 321 million people in just 1 year. Globally, 149.2 million children under 5 years of age, or 22%, were suffering from stunting, low height for their age, in 2020, a decrease from 24.4% in 2015. The number of people going hungry and suffering from food insecurity had been gradually rising between 2014 and the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 crisis has pushed those rising rates even higher and has also exacerbated all forms of malnutrition, particularly in children. The war in Ukraine is further disrupting global food supply chains and creating the biggest global food crisis since the Second World War. I'd like to turn the mic over to our expert Mark at this time to begin our discussion.
Yeah, so just like every communist manifesto in history, or dictatorship, or fascist government, there are contradictions built into the overall agenda. So, yes, goal number one is to end hunger. It sounds nice on paper, but if you understand the goal in its entirety, or the agenda in its entirety, all 17 goals, you look at this idea that we're going to reduce CO2, and in that, because of climate change, which is farcical, there's going to be this reduction in fertilizer, which has been, fertilizer has only helped us feed the planet, a growing planet. And through those innovations, through ingenuity, through, you know, invention and cooperation and development of, you know, these inventions and fertilizer specifically, we've been able to tackle world hunger. We've been able to feed the world by increasing, you know, crop yield and crop quality. And so at the same time they're promoting the idea of ending hunger, they're chopping the legs off of food producers by instituting 30% fertilizer reduction, hampering farmers, food producers' ability to feed the world, creating famine and mass starvation of hundreds of millions of people in that reduction. So, as I said in my intro, it's just like every other communist document or fascist document. It eats itself because the behemoth that is governance doesn't understand the elements of its own agenda that are going to preclude it from achieving the goals that it stated it wants to. Now, a lot of these goals are written in a way as propaganda, as a way to convince people that this is the way to go. But if you understand the agenda in its entirety, and you realize that they can't achieve goal number 11, if that's the climate change one, and still meet the goals of number 2, you can't do it. It's impossible. And so, again, the antidote to this hyper-centralization, this global governance, is lowest common denominator, is the people, is the people growing the food need the ability to innovate and to allow them to produce food that is going to feed the world at a maximum, and let them be caretakers of the land, as most humans have been throughout history. Humanity, again, has this really great ability to look after itself if left to its own devices. Again, as history has shown us, every dictatorship, every, you know, hyper-centralized model of governance has always failed because it always eats itself. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. So goal number 2, end hunger. You can't do that if you're going ahead with reducing the planet's CO2. And by the way, we'll get into the CO2 discussion a little further into this agenda when we start talking about climate change. But there's a lot of points that need to be made in response to CO2 being a creator of climate change.
I agree, Mark. One of the things that concerns me about CO2, you know, not that we profess that agriculture is 100% clean. It certainly isn't. But it is a way of producing food and more abundantly in Canada than anywhere else in the world from the fewest resources. So the fact that the Canadian government is pushing that 30% nitrous oxide reduction across the board, whether it's an organic farmer, conventional farmer, if you're a horse rancher or whatever, everything is coming down the pipe and it affects you. The other point yes. is the emissions from our wetlands, ponds, lakes, and rivers are about the same as what we produce in agriculture. And so, and that's total agriculture, including the diesel fuel that's used to power the machines that run across our fields, that the trucks that haul the seed, the fertilizer across the country and bring these foods to market. We see no inaction, and quite to the contrary, where they want to expand wetlands and expand ponds and lakes at a greater detriment. So any offsets we're going to be making on the farm sector, because I do believe we have a little bit of room for efficiency increases, but it isn't 30%. Let's be realistic about that. Most Canadian farmers aren't squandering resources that they have right now. And so, right. And we're feeding the population. We've got billions of people on the planet, and we are creating an abundance of food. There is a food waste issue, which we certainly need to address at a larger level than we are. The narrative flows in one direction where it's oppressing a certain sector, and it's creating a whole new problem on the other side, which is not getting any attention whatsoever. And so in my mind, if we're going to look at this thing and you want to peel back areas of efficiency, let's look at the whole picture, because there are multifacets on this thing. One thing is connected to another, which is connected to another. And that is our food cycle. And so let's be real about this. I'll turn it over.
Well, and this is why free market capitalism works, because just in the discussion around farming, farmers are not going to cut their own throat by destroying the land that feeds them, right? And it's not only the land that feeds them as a farming family, but they understand that what they're producing is feeding the world. So they're not going to cut their own throat, you know, in a market that they're participating in that feeds their own family. They're not going to do that. They're going to do whatever it takes to ensure the highest yield, the highest quality, so they get the best price for their product. That's how the free market's supposed to work. But what we're seeing in this agenda is, you know, centralization and the control of everything that in the end only eats itself. So I want to touch a little bit on a study that came out of The Lancet a couple of years ago, where a group actually out of the UN had requested that some scientists bring together some scientists to determine why the planet has been greening so much in the last couple of decades. And they could have called me. I'm an arborist. I could have told them, because there's higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere, and those higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere actually encourage more plant growth around the world. And that's exactly what these scientists reported back with. And it's actually on the NASA website as we speak. The higher level of CO2 in the atmosphere encourages more plant growth. And if you ask any greenhouse operator, they'll tell you they pump in 2,500 parts per million of CO2 to encourage plant growth. And so the interesting thing about this, though, is as the Earth greens more, it actually cools the Earth, because there's cover. And they're answer to all of this, to destroy farmland, to stop farmers from farming, from doing their thing, stop vegetation from growing, and put up solar panels, black solar panels that only trap in more heat on the Earth's surface. And so it's all contradictory to what actual science tells us is happening with more CO2 in the atmosphere. So if we want more food, then we need more CO2 to encourage that food growth, that plant growth, that vegetation, which then increases animal growth, more animals, which means more food for a growing population. It's this cycle of life that we have to understand, that they don't want to understand. And if we really truly understood the agenda, the creators of this agenda really have a depopulation agenda attached to all of this, population reduction. In fact, Dennis Meadows, one of the founders of the Club of Rome, co-author of a book called Limits to Growth, which is the foundational works of this agenda that we're talking about, he says specifically in an interview that I've posted, it's on my Twitter account, it's pinned to my Twitter, it's on my YouTube, it's on my Rumble, where he says they want to eliminate 6 billion people from the planet, because we need to get back down to a billion people, which is what's manageable with the resources we have in this. He's completely wrong. He's utterly wrong, but it doesn't matter, because if they can ever get to the point of reducing the Earth's population to a billion people, it's much easier to control that many people. All of this agenda is about control. Controlling all aspects of our lives. And none of what I'm saying am I making up. Did it come to me in a dream? It's what they've told us. And so we need to really wrap our head around this, the mindset of the creators of this agenda, and how contradictory all of these goals are in and among themselves. If they ever wanted to achieve what their stated goals are, they never will. It's impossible. They can't.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point about the planet is greening, we see evidence of this in Manitoba. If you look at the Spruce Woods Provincial Park, it has a natural desert in there. It's the biggest one in the province. I think actually the biggest one in Canada. It is in size, because what greening has also done we've managed wildfires. We've removed them. Brown, foliage rotting away in the ground is highly flammable. One wrong thing goes and that's a flame. We've all but eliminated all that. The other thing, and to Richard's point about depleting the earth, the other, what I see happening or a trend to happen is people switching crops. Like we know soybeans produce their own nitrogen. And so what I see is being very diverse in Canada. We grow just amazing crops of probably about 98 varieties right now. When all this thing comes home to roost, farmers are going to have to pick and choose what are they putting in the ground. They cannot afford the expensive canolas, corns, whatever varieties are coming, but they could possibly afford soybeans, which are cheap and plentiful. And now we're going into monocropping, and that depletes the soil organic matter. And when it takes, you know, decades to rebuild soil organic matter, you can get rid of that in a matter of 4 or 5 years, perhaps even less, just by monocropping. So all those years of hard work are going to be squandered, and it's going to take you another decade to get back to any amount of production. And people, and you alluded to this, Mark, is we produce the highest quality grains and cereals. The world loves our wheat. Canada right. grows number one wheat like nobody's business. Durum, we know who exports durum, and that's Canada, like on a large, massive scale. And it's profitable. And we want our farmers to be profitable. We do not want farmers that are just living paycheck to paycheck or hoping that the government's going to cut them a check for $250,000 to cover the costs of fertilizer or diesel or whatever they're using. They need to be self-sufficient, and it needs to be a family farm. It needs to be continued generation after generation. And the one other thing I wanted to bring home here, and you talked about the government websites and, you know, the agenda. The model that the government uses for greenhouse gases and agriculture runs through a software program called HOLOS, H-O-L-O-S. And that is plagued with a lot of problems. Any model that you put in there is going to give you that hockey stick model where it starts off at zero or at a fairly stable level, and then it's going to explode off the top of the chart. You can put any data in there you want, and I've done this personally. Everything, no matter how good it is, it will always go off the chart. So there's some serious flaws with that, with the government software program that they're recommending. And again, too, like how is a common person supposed to differentiate propaganda from what's real? Because when they're going on these website calculators, they're showing, you know, inaccurate data, and it's people can't figure it out. And that's why we're here to kind of break it down and share some real truths and get the message out of what's really happening, because we're being fed an awful lot of word salad. Everything looks really nice. And I agree. We want zero hunger. That's a very good goal. And we can do that. We can do it on our own, and we can do it way better. And I think we've been on that track for many, many years.
Yeah, absolutely, with a proven track record, and we can do it. And we don't need, you know, these, and you're 100% correct, to reach the outcomes that they want. And when I say they, I mean the people in these UN committees that come up with all of the statistics and the data that scares everybody. Yes, it's done with modeling, and the models have all proven to be hogwash. They're all set up. They're created for an outcome that's going to instill fear in the population. And then when you add to that, that there's what's called a media compact, and this is where all of the media conglomerates, all of the corporations involved in media, including Disney, including Hollywood, news media, television stations, they all have agreed to this media compact. So when the UN committees come together and they want to promote some fear and some propaganda, they go straight to their media partners, who then echo
and parrot exactly what these committees are saying, creating the fear, creating the propaganda, so everyone's hair gets lit on fire. In comes Greta Thunberg. She's on every channel to promote this hogwash. And again, they're quoting models that were meant and created for the outcome they wanted. And so all of this is attached to propaganda. And again, all of it is for mass control. And it's all about hyper-centralization. And at the end of the day, we have a duty, I think, as people that have studied and researched this, to inform our communities, to educate our communities so they understand when they hear certain things on their radio or on their TV or in a movie, it's propaganda. It's not based on reality. It's based on perception. It's based on a narrative that they need to achieve their greater goals. And so what we're doing today and what we're embarking on is incredibly important. So,
So the modeling, it's all based on that modeling, to achieve a goal once there again. And for, the farmers that are listening here, you'll wonder, like, well, I'll just buy it anyways. No, actually, they're coming out with farm ID numbers. So it doesn't matter what corporation you go to buy your farm inputs. It will all be based on your acres. And the study that they've done that you're only allowed to use so many tons of fertilizer per acre that you farm and so on and so forth. So you're not going to circumvent this. They're basically bringing in digital IDs for agriculture. And that's how they will control you. And so basically, what are you then? You don't get to do what's best for the land. You get to do what's best for the goal or agenda once again. And that's just horrifying to our environment.
It is.
And, it's very contradictory.
And they will use NASA and all the Google imagery. Satellite images are going to take an awful lot more photos of your land. And so they will determine what is actually being grown on your land, whether you're circumventing it or not. And we saw this back in the 80s. Some of you folks are probably old enough to remember this when Roundup, if the corporation thought you were growing Roundup ready and you were keeping your own seed, they would just drop some Roundup in your field. And if they saw dead patches, they would send an officer down to your farm and have an investigation and see what kind of seed you were actually using. So definitely. And to your point, Mark, and I wanted to bring this home to people, these folks have access to tremendous amounts of data. They've been collecting data on us forever. Yes. They know what our patterns are, what the human tendency is as a body, as a whole. And they are using high-tech algorithms to circumvent that and use all of those tools against us because they know how intuitive, how nature reacts. And they have a medium and a method to counteract that. And they have tremendous technology and computing power to do that. So it's about you being informed and getting the wherewithals to survive. You don't have to know everything, but you do have to be aware of certain things and say, okay, maybe I need to question this a little bit more. I need to do an inquiry. I need to go check things out for myself because what you see on media, nothing is as it appears.
What can we do at the community level to help push back against this?
So one thing that I always tell people when we're doing these town hall events is, so if I'm going to reach out to Scott Moe, I'm myself writing an email to Scott Moe is not going to get him to stop moving in the direction that he's moving, obviously. Now, if 1,000 people email Scott Moe on a particular issue, or 10,000, that's going to have a much more effect on him or his government than just me. So It's about community. Again, it boils down to community. It boils down to sharing of information and educating your community, which is why I've made this my mission to educate and inform as many people as I possibly can in the hopes that they also then go from there to educate and inform as many as they can. And as more people understand what's happening and what our successive governments have committed us to, the more we can pressure our politicians. I mean, just look at the Conservative Party leader right now, Pierre Poilievre. I had the opportunity in Saskatoon when he came here on his in his campaign. I pretended I wanted a picture with him. I stood there for 2.5 hours waiting in line, and I finally had my opportunity. And I said to him, "You've denounced the World Economic Forum. Will you denounce the Sustainable Development Agenda, the SDGs?" And he feigned ignorance. His answer was, "I don't know what that is. I haven't read it," which is insane because he's actually voted on it numerous times in his 19 years as an MP. So he was completely lying to me. But what I want to do is I want to inspire others, conservative supporters. I want them to be motivated and inspired to force their leadership to address this, to at least acknowledge its existence and recognize it for what it is. And maybe they're going to stand and say, yeah, it's a good thing. Okay, but justify that. Or they're going to denounce it. So it has to be one or the other. And at least at that point, it gets into the public ethos. Then people will start talking about it. But until these politicians actually acknowledge it, we're in a forest. And we're speaking to everyone. We're spreading the message. It's starting to happen. But we need these politicians, the establishment politicians, to acknowledge this agenda because it's very real. It's real as rain. It is what it is. And so we need to pressure our politicians to acknowledge it, recognize it, and start talking about it.
Do you think that they're not talking about it because they are not allowed to talk about it or because they're concerned about, you know, the way Dave mentioned word salad, and when you read through all of these and we'll explore all of them in their entirety, you'll find that a lot of the way these things are worded, you know, A, create a little bit of panic and fear, and B, they sound, you know, really amazing on the surface, right? You know, when is it about in the end, is it about, you know, politics and their voter base and, you know, not wanting to, you know, tip the scale in terms of, you know, swaying votes?
It definitely is that. It definitely is politics. And we've seen this in our provincial, quote-unquote, conservatives, like Scott Moe and Jason Kenney and Danielle Smith and many others. They carry the water for the Conservative Party, right? So when Scott Moe's touring Saskatchewan, and shortly before he lifts the mandates and restrictions of COVID, He's touring around. He's patting people himself on the back for all the wonderful job they've done. But at that same time, and this is how this works. This is how politics works. So when Scott Moe made the announcement to lift the mandates and restrictions of COVID, he was standing at the podium, not because the convoy was putting an inordinate amount of pressure on him as a government, but also at that same time, there was 10% of his donors had donated at that time, 10% of what they would have normally had February previous years. And so his base is rural Saskatchewan. And it was rural Saskatchewan that said, okay, you know what, Scott Moe, we've had enough of your tyranny. We're not supporting your party anymore. They had 10% of their donations they used to having. That triggered Scott Moe into making the announcement and lifting the mandates and restrictions. So we, as a people, still have that ability to wag the tail of government. And so we still have that ability to pressure these people. So they're carrying the water for the Conservatives. And because at the end of the day, Pierre Poilievre cannot acknowledge the Sustainable Development Agenda, because he understands that his party is responsible for committing us to this agenda. It was Mulroney in 92. It was Harper in 2008 that created the first law governing sustainability in Canada. And then he signed on to the latest incarnation of this agenda, Agenda 2030, September 27th of 2015. And immediately, a month later, Justin Trudeau was elected. After 4 days of being elected, he was interviewed by the New York Times, referred to our nation as the first post-national state and a country without a core identity. That, right on the heels of Harper signing and committing to this Agenda 2030 and the 17 goals. Everything Trudeau has put forward and implemented since that day, in the form of bill, in the form of OICs, order and council, and in the form of government policy, has been in compliance with that agenda, everything. And so we need to understand that. And this is why the Conservatives, why Pierre Poilievre, when asked, will feign ignorance and will say nothing, just like Scott Moe does in Calvington or Assiniboine at a town hall, where the people asked him what his position was on the sustainable development agenda. He gave the same answer that Pierre Poilievre did. Feigned ignorance, doesn't know anything about it, which is complete hogwash. Because if you look at the Saskatchewan narrative, the government narrative that they put out, it almost always contains the word sustainability in it. and all of their policy is in compliance with this agenda. So they carry the water for the Conservatives. They're all in it together, and they can't admit to it because ultimately they're responsible for it.
Yeah, that's what I encourage our listeners to, you know, really pay attention to is, you know, when you see these policies and laws coming out and it's like, well, this doesn't make any sense and it's all these hypocrisies, just think about which one of these 17 SDGs that it fits into and read it, and it will make perfect sense. And there's the logic. Exactly. And it's not about us, right? 100%. And they've been, you know, our buddy Klaus, Mr. Schwab, has been doing this since 1971, I believe, right, Mark? And yep. So they've been marching for this for over 50 years. So,
just to talk about that for 1 second in regards to this. So when you talk about the World Economic Forum, Pierre Poilievre, yes, he denounces the World Economic Forum. Good for him. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans, because the World Economic Forum was created by the same people who created the Sustainable Development Agenda. They tapped Klaus Schwab, whose father was a Nazi sympathizer, owned a bunch of businesses that worked in concert with the Nazis. So who better to bring together multinationals and oligarchs and big tech in under the umbrella of sustainable development? And so we have to understand that the World Economic Forum is simply a support mechanism for the sustainable development agenda, Agenda 2030. That's what it is. It's not the pinnacle. The World Economic Forum, as the Conservatives and many conservatives around the world, Republicans in the States, would have you believe that the World Economic Forum is the pinnacle of globalism. It isn't. The Sustainable Development Agenda, Agenda 2030, is the pinnacle of globalism. And the World Economic Forum is simply a support mechanism for that agenda. And so people need to make that distinction and understand when Pierre Poilievre denounces the World Economic Forum, he's not denouncing the pinnacle of this agenda and this of globalism that is the Sustainable Development Agenda.
Yeah, the WEF has been the indoctrinators in every country around the world, basically, you know, sugarcoat and make it sound nice. And, you know, I kind of figure they're ready to throw it under the bus, kind of, you know, throw the wolves a bone, which is us, obviously.
So, Mark, one question on the Pierre comment there. Did Pierre not just say he would ban anyone from attending the World Economic Forum in Davos?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, yes, he did. So it wasn't that he denounced it. He recognized its existence, but he would not allow a sitting MP to attend.
That's correct.
Yeah, a little bit of a, I take those words a little differently, because when you denounce it, then it's firm. Here, it's just you're banning somebody from attending. So
That's a good point.
Because I throw that back at him all day long, because just banning it doesn't make it so.
Right.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
That's a wrap, folks. You've been listening to an Acres of Truth special edition podcast series. We would like to thank you so much for joining us in this journey. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with others on your social media platforms. Be sure to check out our website, acresoftruth.com, for more information on other podcasts and where you can find them. Additionally, feel free to send your questions or comments to info@acresoftruth.com. Thanks again for listening.